And now we go from Shirley Jackson's son to her grandson. Miles Hyman is an artist who specializes in graphic novels and adaptations of classic literature. His latest book has a lot of personal meaning for him. It's a graphic adaptation of his grandmother's most famous short story, The Lottery. Raymond Tungekar wanted to find out how and why Hyman took on the daunting task of transforming The Lottery.
Miles, you were very young when your grandmother died. Can you tell me what you remember of her?
I really only have one visual memory of her, which is when I was very young, not even 3 years old. And this is sort of one of those very early childhood memories, which is almost like a faded Polaroid in my mind of her sitting in the kitchen on a stool preparing dinner. And my father, in the years following that, did confirm that that was where she did spend a lot of time in the later years of her life, in the kitchen after a day's work preparing dinner. I did spend quite a lot of time. My parents were quite young. They were both at school. Both my parents were at school when I was two. So I did spend a lot of time with her. She sort of babysat for me. Hmm. But that's the only image I have of her. So it's sort of this very quick, fleeting image. The rest of what I sort of have of her are these texts. You know, sort of having read them at different points during my life, I sort of have accumulated this portrait of her that feels almost more more alive than that image I have.
Well, I understand your family has a long-standing tradition every time you go to your father's home. Could you tell me about it?
This music box, this very sort of antique Victorian music box, it seems huge. It seemed even larger, obviously, when I was a child. It's sort of this sacred object that's on a table. No one can touch it. It's in the corner of the living room. And when we visit, and this has been true when I was a child and also when I had my own children, we'd sort of recreate this event. There would be at one point for every visit, we'd take the music box off its little table and put it in the middle of the room, and my father would wind it up, and this sort of mysterious, haunting music sort of fills the room. And it's always been this interesting mixture of sort of something that's a little bit frightening and a little bit charming. It's an odd mixture of emotions. It's become sort of this family seance that we recreate every time I visit San Francisco.
That's incredible. Do you remember reading The Lottery for the first time?
I'm not sure I remember reading it for the first time. It's one of those stories that you take something different away from it every time you read it. So I think the story I read when I was probably 12 or 13 is a very different one than I read in my 30s, and yet another that I then adapted over the last 2 years. I can remember my first visits to high schools and coming to an English class once, and the teacher introduced me as Miles Hyman, the grandson of Shirley Jackson, who had wrote The Lottery, and everyone turned around in horror to see what I looked like. So I felt an odd connection to this story early on, and again, this same mixture of sort of a pride in this story that's so well-known and so widely read, and that's something, you know, something a little odd being tied to something that has sort of shocked and horrified so many people over the years.
How did you want to deepen, or what did you want to add to The Lottery?
I can answer the question on two levels. One is, it seemed important to sort of tease out of the original story a few initial scenes that I create in my adaptation, which are not in the story, but which are suggested in the story. The first being, of course, this nighttime encounter between Summers and Graves in Summers' coal shop, where they get together to pull the black box off the shelf and fold the pieces of paper. And the importance of this scene, you know, it's not just decorative. It brings this into the story with two, you know, very carefully planned intents. The first being to sort of create this atmosphere of foreboding and something mysterious is taking place. The second is that it sort of gives us the tools of the lottery right from the outset. We have the black box, the pieces of paper. We know that one of them has a black spot on it. It allows us to show those things to the reader rather than explaining it in words. And in a graphic novel context, you really want to use images and dialogue as much as possible to relay information rather than using an omniscient narrator, as Jackson's original story does. So in choosing this form of graphic adaptation, it was very important to find parts of the story that could be retold in images. if I had to answer the question as to what I brought to the story. It really is a new reading of the lottery rather than just a sort of an illustration of the story.
I should also point out, I mean, this is a story that I read in high school and a lot of people read, and yet, even though I knew what was happening, it still had the same emotional impact that it did the first time I read the story.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to do this, how to go about adapting this in such a way that the story's secrets are never really unveiled until the end. The trick is that there's so much hidden in that original story that when you go from a purely written form to a visual form, you're showing so much and therefore potentially giving away a lot of what's about to happen, which would obviously mean that you had failed at your task. So I want to be very careful not to do that. One of the ways, you know, I really studied Shirley Jackson's use of language, how she goes about maintaining this suspense and having the end, which we sort of guess all along, but we don't really want to believe is really going to happen. How to have that happen on a visual level was a huge challenge. And one of the ways I went about doing that was sort of in the way she does, by focusing on the small things, by focusing on the gestures, on the glances exchanged between villagers, on those sort of simple phrases that truly don't mean anything between neighbors, greetings and comments. All those little things allow us to be sort of a little bit too close to the action to really understand what we're witnessing. Shirley Jackson does exactly the same thing with her language. We're always just a little bit too close. We're getting a lot of details, and yet none of them are the details that are allowing us to really situate ourselves in the action that's taking place. What was absolutely necessary was that the graphic adaptation works on the same level as the original, and that the ending is as shocking and as disturbing as it is in the written version. It's a very short story. I think it's 11 or 12 pages. The graphic adaptation sort of prolongs the action. It's 135 pages. And so I really take my time to develop a sense of the place so that we feel almost at home. And by the time the ending comes, it's that much more shocking that we've allowed almost to feel comfortable in the space that's been created in the drawings.
Hmm. There's like a timeless element to it.
Sure.
You live in Paris.
Yes.
You know, a city that has gone through a lot of extremist violence. Would you say that the story is as relevant now as it was in 1948?
Sadly, I would say that it is. I would say it's very pertinent. Whether we're talking about American politics or European politics, I think that something that's in this story that's very important is the way that people let fear govern their social and political decisions. I think that's almost definitely something that is a topic that has been increasingly evoked, whether we're talking about the United States or Europe. I did the entire book listening to news, to the election in the United States. I drew it through the Paris attacks, the Bataclan. A lot of the current events that have been so shocking to all of us over the last year and a half were sort of the soundtrack, I would say, to my creation of the images that have been published as the graphic adaptation of the lottery. So for me, yes, the two are definitely linked. And I think that the story can be read with a great deal of interest by a current public, because I think it's something that requires us to think and discuss issues that are very much part of our daily lives.
Miles Hyman on his authorized graphic adaptation of Shirley Jackson's The Lottery. Hyman is Shirley Jackson's grandson. He spoke with Raymond Tungekar.